Well, turn with us to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. While you're turning, I want to say it's a real privilege to be here, and I've certainly enjoyed all the singing. Amen. Wonderful singing. And I want to say congratulations to the church and to the pastor on 46 years. Amen. Yep. I'm telling you, any Baptist church that survives 46 years ought to celebrate. Isn't that right? Yep. And if you know as well as I do, a lot of them don't make it. And but God has been good to you. He's blessed you. And I'm so thankful to be here. And everything the pastor said, my heart can go out to him as a pastor. And I think every pastor ought to feel like he pastors the greatest church in the world. Amen. And I never miss a Sunday at our church other than vacation once a year. And just so honored to come and be here and appreciate each one of you. I appreciate your pastor. Our church loves him. And he preaches for us in our Jubilee. He's preached revivals for us and different things. And he does the same thing. He comes to Jubilee and he says, "Now listen, you don't have to use me, you know." And I'm like, "No, you're preaching every day." And so we wear him out while he's there, and folks love him. Our folks love him. I appreciate him. Appreciate his stand. Appreciate his heart. And don't you thank God for the man of God? Amen. And I tell you, I say this everywhere I go, and I'm sure you do every bit of it, because this is a great church. But you ought to pray for your pastor and his wife every day. And you ought to pay for your pastor. Isn't that right? A preacher worth praying for is worth paying for. Isn't that right? And one of these days, I'm going to be a member and not a pastor. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to vote every year. If it makes the whole deacon board mad, I'm going to vote every year. I'm going to bring it up and give the pastor a raise. And then I'm going to double dog dare some tightwad in the church to have a problem with it. Amen? Isn't that right? I tell you, most people, they don't get a raise. They're in the office asking the supervisor what in the world's going on. And I know y'all don't have to tell you that. You take good care of him. But, you know, it ain't going to offend me if you give him a raise today. Amen? But pray for your preacher. Pay for your preacher. And then protect your preacher, and more so his family. Amen. I'm going to tell you, people that don't have the guts to go after the pastor, they'll go after his wife and his children. You know that? And so you build a hedge around them. And I say that everywhere I go. And the only people it offends is people that don't like to give and don't like the pastor. Amen. And so, but it's so good to be here. And I'll tell you, I really got a burden on my heart this morning. I won't preach long, but I have a burden on my heart this morning. And I pray that God will use the message to speak to every one of us. If you're able to stand with us, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And if you go to our church website, if I could just say this one thing, if you go to our church website and look up our Spring Jubilee, I encourage you to listen to Thursday night's message. Your pastor's probably preached it here, but he preached on Abigail, and a tremendous message. And I encourage you to listen to that sermon. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead, and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance." Let's bow for prayer, then you can be seated. Our precious Heavenly Father, God, we want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here once again this morning. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you for this church. And Lord, as it's already been said, thank you for 46 years of the truth standing in this place. And I pray, God, that you'll bless them even more in days to come. I pray you'll bless this church financially. I pray you'll bless them numerically and most of all spiritually. I ask you, Lord, to do it at work this morning in all of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And he that hath an ear, let him hear this morning. And God, I pray for that sinner that's nearest hell, Lord, that they may be born again in the family of God. Bless every effort that'll be put forth today. And may you get glory and honor. And may we see no man save Jesus only. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse number 2 here in just a moment. But I want you to think about this king by the name of Jehoshaphat. I know that if you're a Bible reader, you're no stranger to him this morning. But when we think about him, we think about, first of all, his person, what his name means. Jehoshaphat simply means that Yahweh is God. And when you look at his reign, when you look at his life, you see that there was areas in Jehoshaphat's life where he compromised. Even God mentioned that. But in chapter 19 and verse number 4, where even God himself said that he was pleased with the reign and the life of Jehoshaphat, that he sought God with all of his heart. And so we think about his person. It means Yahweh is God. Then we think about his position. The Bible tells us here in verse number 1 that Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. So he was the fourth ruler of Judah. His father was Asa, and if you look in chapter 15, you remember the great revival that was brought through Asa as Azariah the prophet came and preached to him and helped him to be an instrument, a tool, to set the nation back on the right course. So we think about his person. We think about his position. Now, he is the fourth ruler of Judah. But when you come to verse number 2, I want you to catch this last little phrase here where the Bible talks about he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim. But notice this, which Asa, his father, had taken. I want you to think about his privilege this morning, because Jehoshaphat, when he became king, he felt the responsibility, or he felt the weight, should I say, of the position that he had been placed in. And the reason he felt that weight was because he realized that a great privilege had been given unto him, that something had been passed down to him that was very vital, that was very important, that there had been land that had been taken, land that had been given to him. And the burden that we find in this text here is much of the burden that's on my heart this morning, and it's the fact that Jehoshaphat wanted to secure in the early verses of this chapter and of his minister, his reign, he wanted to secure the ground that had been given unto him. In other words, he did not want to lose the ground that had been given to him by his father Asa. And I want to preach a few minutes this morning on that subject, on how not to lose ground. Amen? How not to lose ground. I think you'll agree with me this morning that we've lost a lot of ground in the last few years. We've lost it in our country. I don't have to spend a lot of time elaborating it, but just for the fun of it, I may take a couple of minutes. Amen? But we've lost ground in our country. Can I get a witness on that? Our nation is in trouble this morning more than it ever has been. This nation, if it needs anything, it needs old-time preachers to rise up, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and preach the Word of God without the fear and favor of man. Amen? But our nation, our country is in trouble when they don't even know which bathroom to go to, when they don't know how to define a woman. I'm telling you, America is in trouble because she has legalized alcohol and she has legalized abortion. You can't murder 1 million babies a year and get by without the judgment of God. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, she has called good evil and evil good, and wrong is right and right is wrong in this nation. And we're in trouble this morning as a country, and America needs revival. And I want to stop and say this. I believe America can have revival. Amen? And you can come up to me after service and say, well, now, preacher, we're in the last days and all of this is set. And I believe we're in the last days. But if Nineveh can have revival, as wicked as it was, then God, America can have revival. Amen? I'm telling you, if Lot would have won his family and would have won two neighbors, Sodom could have had revival and could have been spared. And if you and I will keep on doing what we're supposed to, there's still hope for this nation in this hour, because the God of the Bible is still the God of revival. Amen? I'll tell you, we've lost ground in this country, haven't we? And we've lost ground in our churches this morning. A lot of our churches have closed, and let's be honest, some of them shouldn't needed to close. Amen? But a lot of them have closed their doors. Many have cooled off, and we've lost ground. But before the pandemic ever came, we ought to remember this morning that, listen, apathy and complacency and those things had filled our churches long before that ever arose. All it did was reveal what was already there. And I'm telling you, when you consider our churches this morning, we've lost ground in a lot of our churches. Listen, many churches have dropped their standards and their convictions. They've stopped using the right Bible. They changed their method of music now. And listen, they've taken away the pulpit and got rid of the choir. I'm not talking about, listen, funny churches out there. I'm talking about churches that used to be fundamental, churches that used to take a stand, churches that used to believe exactly what you and I believe, but they backed up. Can I get a witness right there? Listen, they backed up on some things. They've lightened up and watered some things down. And the end result is we've lost ground in our churches. Amen. And we've lost ground in our children. I'm telling you, young people, it is harder to be a teenager in America now than it ever has been. But it's not impossible. Joseph lived in Egypt, but Egypt never lived in Joseph. Daniel lived in Babylon, but Babylon never lived one day in the life and heart of Daniel. And you can live for God in this hour. In fact, this is one of the greatest hours to live for God when so many young people don't have the truth and don't know what is right and we've lost ground. You can be a light. You can be salt in this world now. You can shine brighter than you've ever shined before. I tell you, our young people are in trouble in this hour. You know why? Because a lot of moms and dads have backed up. We've left the family altar out. We've left out, spirituality in the home and the inner. All is that young people, the only spiritual role model they have in a lot of places is their pastor, their Sunday school teacher. But it used to be the other way. It used to be at home. Amen. Mom and dad lived for God. They wasn't just one thing at church and another thing at the house, but we've lost ground in our children. Amen. Taking prayer out of the public school, the Bible out. They no longer say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. I was in a public school a few years ago, and a man asked, he said, how many of you young people know the Pledge of Allegiance? And of a classroom of about 30 high schoolers, there was 3. And out of the 3, 2 of them said, I've heard it, but I can't quote it. You know why they do? Our government has done that. They want to take patriotism out of the heart of a generation. But I'm telling you, even when I wasn't saved, I can remember going to public school and standing there every morning and pledging to the flag and somebody reading a passage out of the Word of God, and it put patriotism in our heart. Amen? But we're living in a time when many have backed up on that. We've got a lot of communists and socialists running our government today and running society. And because of that, we have a generation of young people that know not God and they know not the history of this great country and land that we live in. I'm telling you, too much blood was shed and too many lives was given for you and I not to stand up for the cause. I'm telling you, David was a Christian, but he was a countryman. Amen. David would take his harp and he would worship with you, but he'd take his sword and cut your head off if you went against his nation. Isn't that right? I'm talking about, friend, patriotism still needs to be in the heart of every young person this morning. We're living in that day, aren't we? When we've lost ground in these areas. But Jehoshaphat did not want to lose ground. And this morning, I think I'm preaching the cream of the crop. But I don't want to lose ground. I don't want the church I pastor, brother, to lose ground. I don't want the homes, the families that are in that church. I don't want them to lose ground. I don't want the youth group to lose ground this morning and today. I don't know who all is sitting in these pews, but I pray this morning that you will purpose in your heart, if you hadn't already, that you'll not back up one inch. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, whether you be a young person, whether you be a husband or whether you be a wife this morning, listen, whether you be a pastor, evangelist, missionary, if you give the devil an inch, you know this, he'll take a mile. Isn't that right? And Jehoshaphat realized the way and the responsibility of securing what already had been secured, of keeping what was already been given. And you and I, after 46 years of this wonderful church standing for the truth, do you realize it would take less than 30 days for everything that we have and everything that we enjoy and everything that we know for it to all be gone? Amen. We can't lose ground. We can't get at ease in Zion because of the prosperity and the blessings that God has given. How did this king keep that from happening? Well, notice with me in verse number 1, I see his strength. The Bible said, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead. And notice this, he strengthened himself against Israel. Jehoshaphat realized that if they as a nation was going to be what they always had been since his father Asa, they was going to have to continue to strengthen themselves. And that there had to be an awareness of where the threat was coming from. The Bible says in verse number 1 that he strengthened himself against Israel. I want to say this morning that you and I have to be aware that there's a constant threat in all of our life. There's a threat on this church this morning. There's a threat upon the home. There's a threat upon my ministry. There's a threat upon every Sunday school class, every youth group this morning. We have to be aware of the threat. I'm telling you, when people get in trouble is when they let their guard down. Amen? When you get at ease, when you get comfortable, when you stop pursuing the things of God. They sung that song a while ago about being hungry and being thirsty and going and getting God. Oh, if that was true in all of our churches across this country, we could
have revival before the sun sets today. God is more willing to work and God is more willing to move. But it's going to take some strong Christians in this hour. I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take some Christians that'll get behind the man of God, and when he plows, they'll get with him. Amen. I'm telling you, it doesn't cost me nothing to say amen during the preaching. It doesn't cost me nothing to throw my hand up, but it may cost us everything if we just sit in silence and we just let everything roll off. I'm telling you, it may cost us everything if we're not aware of the threat. Amen. Now, you don't have to act like me. But I tell our church that all the time. I said, you don't have to act like me. But I said, you ought to at least laugh and cry a little bit. Smile a little bit in service. Say amen. I don't care if you throw a songbook at me just so I know there's some movement going on. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, brother, our churches are way too quiet in this hour. They're like funeral parlors, amen. They're cold and indifferent. They're dead and they're stiff. I'm telling you, and I know I'm preaching in a good church this morning, but you still need to be reminded of it. You still need to be remembered. There's a threat. Hey, the devil will rock you to sleep if you'll let him, amen. There's a threat on your home, husband and wife. You better stay close and stay on your knees and pray for your children and keep sin out of your home. I'm telling you, keep a holy atmosphere and a good spirit in the house, in your house. Amen. I'm telling you, the church is only to be an extension of the home. But you got to be aware of that thread. Amen. It doesn't matter to me if you raised your children with standards and a family altar and read the Bible to them every single night. I'm for every bit of that. But I'll tell you something about the devil tonight or this morning. He never gives up. He'll find the weakest leak in your home. You got to stay on your knees every day. Be aware of the threat. Be aware of the throne. Jehoshaphat realized somebody wanted the throne in his life. Somebody wants the throne in your life. I'm going to tell you who it is. First of all, it's self. And then it's Satan. And if you don't get self off the throne, Satan will surely take over. But Jesus wants the throne of your life today. Everything we must do out of a motive because we love him. We cannot do it for the attention or the accolades of our flesh. We must do it to glorify God. We must do it to magnify him. And we must be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, and in the power of his might, we must put on the whole armor of God that we may withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand the evil day. Amen. And having done all to stand, he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But we can't forget verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hey, I want to tell you, you've got to be aware of the throne. You've got to be aware of the threat, and you got to be aware of the triumph in your life. Amen. 46 years, God bless this church. And I don't know this morning how long you've been a member of this church. There may be some here, I would say probably few, that were here when it started, if any. But there are probably a majority here this morning that the service you were in this morning, the atmosphere, the setting, is all you've ever known this church to be. But I promise you this morning, it wasn't always like this. This wasn't always. I told one of our deacons one day, I said, you know, I called Brother Laddie, you know, Brother Laddie. I said, Brother Laddie, I said, half of them don't have no clue what it used to be like, do they? And it was a good church. But the atmosphere, things change. You see, this morning, we're enjoying something that is 46 years in the making. There's triumph. It's a day of celebration. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, from day one to year 46, it ain't always been triumph. It ain't always been every Sunday sweet singing and pretty smiles. Oh no, I don't know anything hardly about the history of this church, but it's a Baptist church that's been here for 46 years. And I promise you, there's been some headaches and there's been some heartaches and there's been some troublemakers and there's been some people slide in and want to take over. Amen. I'll tell you, I've had them come through my church. You've had them come through your church. You say, what do you do? I'll show them grace for just a little space. Amen. But listen, sometimes the best thing to do is just let them go on down the road. I'm just telling you how it is. But what I'm saying is 46 years, you don't celebrate it without being strong in your belief, strong in your doctrine, strong in your leadership, strong in your convictions. Hey, that's how you keep from losing ground. You got to be strong. Amen. It's not a time for compromise. It's not a time for weakness. It's a time for strength. You say, preacher, I don't want to lose ground in my life. You got to be strong in the Lord. I see his strength and I see his service. Look at verse number 2. Now, Democrats don't like verse 2. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that in advance. Probably don't have one in the building, but if so, you're going to get nervous in this verse. Because Jehoshaphat believed in some things that Nancy Pelosi does not believe in. I'm just telling you, they're all in the Bible here too. You say, like what? Well, first of all, he believed in forces. The Bible said he placed forces. In other words, he bulked the military up. I mean, he had more swords made, more spears made. He built more chariots. If he could have had a Moab bomb, he would have built that. A Scud missile. I mean, listen, he would have bulked the Navy fleet up. He would have bulked the Marines. I mean, he believed in forces. I believe in forces. Somebody say amen. I'm just talking about this is the service. We see his strength, but we see his service. He wasn't just all talk. Amen. He believed in forces. You know, a church got to have some forces. Amen. You got to have somebody that believes in strength, and somebody believes in standing for what's right. And Jehoshaphat believed in forces. It gets a little bit better. Amen. He not only believed in forces, but look at verse number 2. He believed in fences. Amen. He didn't tear down the walls that had already been built. If I didn't know better, I'd have think that was Donald Trump's verse. Amen. I mean, he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah. Chuck Schumer would have had a hard time living in Jehoshaphat's day. You know why? Because he said, we're not going to tear down none of these walls. Amen. We're going to keep all these walls that's been built. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put forces on those fenced cities. Hey, I believe in walls. Somebody say amen. Build one all the way around this great country we live in. I'm telling you, we ought to build one and protect. You know what walls do? They keep good things in and bad things out. Amen. And there's not a person here under this building tonight or this morning that what you sleep under, an open air tabernacle. Oh no, you got walls around your house. Amen. You got fences around your house. You know why? Because what's there is precious. Amen. I tell you, you better build some fences around your life. You better build some fences around your home. You better build some fences around your children. You better build some fences around your church. Amen. You better build some fences around the man of God. Build them around his wife. Build them around his children. Amen. You got to believe in fences. Amen. You know what's wrong with this contemporary crowd? No fences. Let's just take it all away. Let's lose our identity. I don't want to lose my identity. I'm going to tell you why I don't want to lose my identity. Because before I met Jesus, I was a nobody headed nowhere. I was a lost ball in high weeds going to hell. And the greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day I got saved and got born in the family of God and got branded and got an identity. I tell you, the second best day was when I forgot baptized into the body of a Baptist church. Amen. And became a Baptist. I'm not a Baptist by choice, but by conviction. Amen. I'm telling you, I believe that with all of my heart. And I'm glad to be a Baptist. Somebody say amen. I believe there's some Methodists going, there's some Church of God going, maybe some Lutherans may get in there, but I want to tell you this morning, I'm glad to be an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, 1611 King James, a soul-winning, mission-minded Baptist. I believe in some fences, amen. He believed in forces. He believed in fences. I'll tell you something else he believed in. I'm talking about his service. He believed in forefathers, which Asa, his father, had taken. Jehoshaphat, why are you doing all this? Why do you feel the need to strengthen these fences and strengthen these forces? He said, because of my forefather, the one that had gone on before me. I want to say this morning, we owe it to the generation before us to pass down to the next generation what they have given to us. I thank God for Lester Olof, for Oliver B. Green. I thank God for Harold B. Siler,
for Brother Sammy Allen, for Brother Stinnett Blue. I thank God for men that preached and stood for what was right and stood for the truth. I thank God for Lee Robertson. Those men, I don't hang my head. I'm not going to let these Johnny come latelys that come by cause me to back up. I tell you, young people, learn everything you can about your forefathers in our country and in our great Christian faith. Learn everything you can about C.T. Studd. Learn everything you can about Hudson Taylor and D.O. Moody and Charles Spurgeon. And listen, you learn what you can about them because, listen, I know it's the Lord, but you didn't get here by yourself. Somebody went before you. Somebody gained some ground so you could be where you're at. Hey, that's why I thank God for America. At World War II generation, they built factories. They had cottage prayer meetings and built rock altars, and they fought wars. And you and I live in this great nation this morning, and we celebrate our freedom because somebody went to foreign soil and gave their life's blood. I say thank God for the military. Amen. I say thank God for those that have given their life and put themselves in harm's way so that you and I could enjoy the freedom that we have this morning. I'm simply saying thank God for our forefathers. Amen. All this cancel culture. They want to erase our history books. They want to burn our flags. They want to take away our freedom so that a younger generation does not have the opportunity to know what we know this morning. I see his strength. I see his service. That's how he kept from losing ground. He did something about what he said. Then I see his success. I have a question about verse number 2. Was God pleased with Jehoshaphat strengthening the military, strengthening the defenses? We'll look at verse number 2. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. You think God's for a wall on the border down here? Well, he sure was in Jehoshaphat's day. You think God's for a strong military? He was in Jehoshaphat's day. His strength, his service. Where is his success? Jehoshaphat, it's in his presence. It was the Lord that was with Jehoshaphat. Anything that good happens in our life, anything good that happens in our church, our ministry, it'll be the Lord that does that. We got to keep pride out of the way. Pride's killing us in this hour. So much self-promotion. So much injustice today. I'll tell you, the way up with God is down. You've heard that many times. If the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall exalt you in due time. James chapter number 4, the Bible said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And then he said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. I'm telling you this morning, if we'll humble ourselves and get low, God will use us. And Jehoshaphat realized that his success was not in himself, but it was in his presence. Amen. His success, not only in his presence, but it's in a path. Notice this morning, he walked in the first ways of his father David. The success of Jehoshaphat was following the traditions of David. Not all of David's ways, but the first ways. I want to say this morning, thank God for traditions. Not every tradition ought to be taken away. I think a preacher ought to wear a shirt and tie when he preaches. Can I get a witness on that? I think the pulpit's a good tradition and it's Bible. I think a choir's a good tradition. I think this morning, the old time way, people want to take that away today. But here's a man that said, you know, I'm going to walk in the paths of the ones that's went before me. It worked for them. It worked for David. It'll work for me. Those early days of David's life and his ministry, those first ways, you young people, listen, you find some saint of God that's went on or some saint of God that's lived almost their life out and they've been faithful and they've been true. Don't listen to some of these your contemporaries, those that are the same age as you. I've never seen a day when young people take more advice from people their age than they do people that are older than they are. I'm telling you, the saving of my marriage and of my ministry is by following those gray-haired saints of God. There'll be others that'll want you to think, well, they're old fogies, they're outdated. Oh no, listen, those are the ones you want to follow. They've been tested and tried, amen. They've been proven and they've stayed with the stuff and they've been faithful. You don't find these new ways. You walk in the first ways of those that have stayed faithful to God and been true, and his success is in the path. You seek out the old paths. I see his success in his presence, in his path, and then in his perspective. He sought not unto Balaam. He didn't follow the false gods and idols of his day. I want to say not only his strength, his service, his success, but I want you to see his spirituality. This is how he kept from losing ground. Because it wasn't just work. It wasn't just action in the life of Joseph. But he was a spiritual man. And the spirituality is seen in verse 4 in who he sought. The Bible said, but he sought to the Lord God of his father. I'll tell you something about seeking God this morning. If you're not careful, you can sing in the choir and never seek God while you're singing. You can teach a Sunday school class or preach a sermon and not seek God. You can sit through an entire service, in fact, an entire Sunday, and go home and have not even sought God. Brother, there are people in our churches today, they come and they're there in body, but they're not seeking God. I'm telling you, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. I'm telling you, God, it amazes me how God shows up in a service sometimes. You ever had those days, preacher? I'm sure, I know you have. Where you go to church and you're just all fired up. You know, you got your message on your heart. I mean, you're fired up and you've studied. And for whatever reason, this sermon seems like it's the sermon of all sermons. It's the greatest sermon that God's ever give you. And you just know that everybody's going to just, I mean, it's no telling what's going to happen. I'll tell you what happens. Nothing. They either blow up or blow out, you know. And you get up there and you can tell from the first song that it's going to be an uphill battle. And I'll tell you how to really know is when the choir leader looks at you and says, I'm praying for you. When the choir leader says that, what he said is, I had a hard time, you're going to have a harder time. And you have those days like that where you just, you know, it's just everybody's mind is somewhere else. And I won't tell you this morning, don't I be that way, should it? Brother, this morning, God can be found. And what amazes me is how that God can take one part of a sermon. I've seen it. I've seen preachers get up and preach, and it seemed like they were just preaching it, and they were just trying to preach their way through something. It seemed like they were having a difficult time. Maybe it wasn't the crowd. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the devil. But for whatever reason, there was distractions, or it just seemed like everything wasn't meshing together like we wanted it to. And you could tell they were struggling, but somewhere's God got in that one part of that message. Maybe it's only a statement. And God moved people. You know, one person in this church could seek God and send revival to this church. I've seen it happen. I remember a revival we had a few years ago. One man in our church, a good man, been faithful for years. He got on an altar one Sunday morning, and I didn't pay no attention to him because he's so faithful to our church. But he stayed in that altar. He was the last person to leave that morning, and he wept. I heard him weeping over that. I thought he must have some burden he's under. He went back to his seat. And Sunday night he got back in the altar again, he wept again. I thought, man, there's something going on in his life. He'll probably come talk to me. But he stood up that night and testified. He said, you know, I'm just tired. He's a faithful church member, a tither. He said, I'm just tired of just being here. And I really want something from this revival meeting. You know, it was a 3-day meeting that turned into a 3-week meeting. And I really believe this. I believe it started with one person, a good man, on the altar, who never misses, saying, I want God to do something, anything in my life. Spirituality is seen in who he sought. It's also seen in where he stepped. Look what the Bible says. He walked in his commandments. You know, that's interesting because in verse 3, it says he walked in the first ways of his father David. But in verse 4, it said he walked in his commandments. I think it's tradition in verse 3, but it's truth in verse 4. You can't walk in all the ways of man, for every man has a flaw in him. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can walk in all the commandments of God. And Jehoshaphat said, you know what? He's a spiritual man. He said, I want to walk in the ways. I want to follow those who have gone on before me. I want to follow David's first ways, but also I want to walk in all the commandments of God. Absolute obedience. You know, that's what the Christian life is about. That's where real success is. It's trusting and obeying. It's following the truth of the Word of God. And Jehoshaphat said, Lord, I want to walk in the commandments of the Lord. It's seen in where he stepped. Where are you walking at today? You know, you can have the outside just right. You can learn how to shout. You can learn how to praise God. But where the rubber meets the road in all of our life today is, are we obeying God? Are we obeying His commandments? Is there something He's speaking to you about right now that you need to do business with? I see his spirituality, a spiritual man, a walk in the ways of God. And then I see it's where he stopped. The Bible said, not after the doings of Israel. Israel was in idolatry. You know that. Jeroboam had brought in false idols. And Joseph, I said, we're not walking in those ways. We're not doing those things. Others may be doing it. Others may be going that way. But no, we're just going to do what we know, what the Bible says. I think that's right today, isn't it? You know how a church is 46 years old will make it another 46 years if Jesus doesn't come? By walking in the commandments of God. Amen. I'm not worried about the economy. I'm not worried about somebody stealing church members. I'm not worried about all that stuff. I'll tell you, truth always triumphs. Truth always prevails. I'm telling you, if you'll stay faithful to God, God will stay faithful to you. And I see his spirituality. And then finally, I want you to notice in verse 5, his stability. How did he keep from losing ground? His stability was providential. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. I want to say this morning. If you walk in the ways of God, God will put, he'll providentially put some things in your hand. He'll stabilize some things in your life. I think about when you first got saved. Think about where you're at today. The day that you got saved, I don't know how old you were, I don't know where you were at in your life, but I do know this much. You could have never planned your life to be where it is today. There's no way you could have planned it out. In fact, you probably had plans. You probably had ideas. You probably had some kind of, maybe they were all good ideas. Maybe they were all spiritual things. Maybe you wanted to serve God and you had this idea of what serving God was about. But I promise you, what your idea was then and what it is today is not the same thing. It's not the same path. It's not the same plan. But I bet you it's better than what you ever anticipated. You know, when I got saved, I never dreamed of being a preacher. And then when God called me to preach, I certainly never dreamed of being a pastor. I felt sorry for our pastor most of the time. So I didn't want to be a pastor. I thought I was going to be a jail preacher all the days of my life. But God had a different path. He had a different plan. What are you saying? I'm saying God providentially brings things into your life. And his stability was providential. His stability this morning was prosperous. Look, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Here's what I'm saying to you this morning. I'm not telling you if you live for God, you're going to have a lot of money. Or you have a lot of things. But I will tell you this, you have more living for God than you would living for the devil. But I will promise you this. You'll have riches that money can't buy. Yes, sir. Brother, I'm talking about like peace on your pillow at night. Yes, a clear conscience. A pure life. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'd rather have those things tonight or this morning as to have all the money and the wealth this world had to offer. I'm telling you, fame will not do you any good. Fame will not give you any lasting peace. Fame or popularity will never bring you joy. If you're on top, you've got to fight to stay on top. Oh, you can't stay on top forever. But I tell you, if you've ever been on bottom and you ever let God raise you up, you ever let God put you out there, He'll keep you where He wants you to be at. He'll take care of you. He'll bless you. I'm telling you, I look back through my life. I could never put all the pieces of the puzzle together. But I tell you, God has brought things in my life. He has stabilized some things in my life, and everything that I have and everything that I am this morning, I owe it all to Jesus. Amen. I want to give him all the glory. I want to give him all the honor. If he took it all away today, and listen, he doesn't owe me anything, but he sure has been good to me, and God been good to you today, and he blessed you far beyond what you ever deserved, what you ever expected. Hallelujah. You know what he's done? He stabilized you. And even when your whole world seems like it is falling apart, you don't have to lose ground. You can keep on pressing on. Because you're one day closer to heaven than you were yesterday. This morning, here's the burden in my heart as they get us a song ready. I want you to do inventory of your life. Is there an area of your life you've lost ground, you've gave it up? Is there an area of your life you're struggling with? Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe it's your Bible reading. Maybe you've dropped a standard. If God ever told you something was wrong once, He hasn't changed His mind about it.
Right, right.
People say, well, I learn better. I don't believe any of that. If he ever dealt with you one time about it, he's never changed his mind about it. I'll give you one final illustration. I used to love to collect baseball cards. When I was 15 years old, God said, I want you to give those up. Now, I'm not telling you it's wrong for you, but it became an idol in my life. And so I gave it up. I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I was in Pigeon Forge. I was walking past a card shop. And I saw those, and I thought, well, I'm just going to go in and look at them. You know, I'm not going to buy anything. You know, how many of you ever said that? I went and walked around. I looked around. Man, I couldn't believe. I mean, I remembered all of them. And I convinced myself, standing there long enough, that, well, you know, that was back when I was 15 years old. At the time, I'm 45 years old now. I've matured. I'm a lot stronger of a Christian. You know, anytime you say those things, you're going down the wrong path. And I stood there long enough till I spent $20 on a box of baseball cards. And when I walked out, I felt like I had just drank a 12-pack of beer is what I felt like. I'm walking down the, and God said, what are you doing? I told you that 30 years ago. I said, well, Lord, I really thought that was for then, you know. And God said, no. I changed my mind about that one bit. It was an idol then. It'll be an idol now. Pay $20 for that box. You say, what'd you do to it, with it? I sold it to a friend for $40. And I tithed off of it. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't want to lose ground in my life. I'm not everything that I ought to be. I'm not everything that people think I ought to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. And I do not want to lose ground this morning. And I tell you, your church, your home, your spouse, your children cannot afford for you to back up one inch. Dad, you're to be the leader of your home. You're to be the first one up on Sunday morning. You're the one that ought to be first one in the car. You'll be the one that leads them in family devotion. You can't afford to give up on that. You say, well, I've messed up. What do I do? Just be honest about it. But don't lose ground. This morning as we stand, church member, you remember the day when you used to be fired up? You used to be hungry. You used to be thirsty. You used to be excited about your church. You couldn't wait for Sunday to roll around. Don't lose ground on that.